All right, so should we move on to the John Benjamin Band?
I wrote a song.
Yeah.
Time will grind all their bones to dust, all their words to rust. I won't mind. Down the road, we are following, following your lead. Off we go. Can't wait to see.
So what's up with the 35-second long intro? How do you justify that?
I don't. I just repeated that section, and I was too lazy to take it out because I would have had to stitch the sections together.
Well, I gotta say the drums sound good during the intro. So, you know, having lively drums to listen to for that 35 seconds really helps. Tell me about your technique on the drums. How do you get your drum sound?
I use Logic's drummer, and I try to dial in the drummer that is closest to the genre that I'm doing. I basically try to use Logic's drummer the way that they want you to use it, right? I try to say, all right, what was the intent when they made Logic's drummer function? How do they want me to use it? And then I try to do that. You know, I try to tweak things in the drummer. I will actually go in and turn up the gain on the kick drum or turn up the tuning. You can tweak a lot of the different sounds in the drummer in addition to adding, you know, looseness or tightness or whatever you want. So I kind of go in there, I make a drummer track, pick a sound, you know, pick a drummer, and they have a bunch of different drummers. They all have names. They all actually have little pictures, right?
And so this is Kyle's side gig, is with the John Benjamin Band then, right?
I don't think Kyle was on this track, though.
No? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I picked Kyle or not. I don't remember their names.
They're just drummers. Who cares?
They're just drummers. Why remember? They're just going to spontaneously combust at some point anyway. So, but that's what I do. I just make sections in the drummer track, and I loop some, and I tweak some, and sometimes on some tracks I will go and I'll add some MIDI drums on top of it. I really like the drummer. I'm not a drum programmer. I don't have a lot of very defined ideas as to what the drum parts should be. And I also know that a lot of what I'm doing is straight up pop. And so the rhythms for straight up pop have been, you know, pretty standard, right? Yeah. Things that work, you know, boom, boom. There are standard solutions. And so I just take advantage of those standard solutions. And because they're built into the drummer, if I want a particular segment, like if I want a break, right, I will stop the drummer and maybe I will add my own fill or I'll add my own run into that to get this. But that's the only time I really care. If it's in the middle of a verse, I don't care what the drummer's doing as long as it's not in the way. But that's how I do the drums. And then after that, it's just leveling.
Right.
Well, that's a great description of the drums. Now, on to Paco del Stinco. No. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to also ask you about your clean vocal sound, because I feel like there's a really short reverb tail on your vocals, which adds like a really nice presence and still keeps them clean sounding.
Christ, I should have had the Logic thing open up just so I can remind myself what I put on it.
So this is not like a vocal chain that's a preset that you've labored over for a long time. You kind of vary it up each time.
I vary it up each time only because it's strange to say I'm too lazy to make a preset, but I am. So I tend to do the same things all the time, but I use these productions for experiments and for demos for my band, Menage a Garage, available on Spotify. So it's often different. Like I'll read something. Like I've been watching YouTube videos by this guy, Big Z, and I think he's pretty good. I tend to hop around to different people on YouTube, I get tired of somebody, or I get tired of their attitude, or I get tired of their face, and I'll go on to somebody else. Big Z's the guy I've been watching most recently, and he was talking about dialing in vocal sounds, and you know, he'll add like duplicate tracks and reverse them to get the reverb that he wants so that it doesn't get in the way of the main vocal. But you still, when the main vocal's not singing, you get the nice reverb after the fact.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to approach some of those ideas without taking quite as much time and experience and intelligence as he applies to them. I'm always trying to get that shimmery reverb sound that you hear on songs. I've never gotten it. But, you know, I always have this little woofiness to my reverb that I have never been able to get away from or to figure out how to get out of my mix just to leave that shimmer. I'll get it one day. But anyway, so I don't remember what the reverb processing was for this. I do remember that my approach was I like my lyrics. I like my vocals. They are one of the strongest parts of my repertoire. So I always try to make them audible. And, you know, I sing a lot better than I play guitar or bass or anything else. So I'm going to make that my focus of the performance.
Yeah, it worked out well. The vocals sound fantastic in this song, and they're all totally audible.
Yeah,
without like sounding over-compressed. Or...
Well, that's good. Thank you.
You know, underneath all of that knob turning and button pushing and stuff like that, there's a song. And I thought it was really good. It launches right in with that driving guitar line, and then it kind of backs off to give the verses some room. It's great dynamics between all of the sections. I thought that was really good. And the harmonies in the chorus are great. That old school phaser guitar is a cool touch, and the stripped down ending really works for me, I thought.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the phaser, because I put that in somewhat late in the process because I started to feel that the guitars weren't washy enough, right? I know somebody mentioned on the boards they don't like that, but that specific phaser effect was the thing that when I turned it on, I'm like, okay, there it is. That gives enough movement to that guitar so that it's not just a straight up distorted chord just playing constantly for 15 seconds in your ears. It's got something that's kind of wavering around between your ears to give you something to listen to while I'm singing. So I like that. Yeah. So I'm glad you like that.
Yeah, I do. It does sound very, again, old school phaser. It sounds like,
yeah,
like saying, hi, this is a phaser, which is fine, but it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound organic, I guess is the way I would put it. But it does sound good. I like it. I thought it was a good effect. I thought it was a good touch.
I think that is just the Logic pedals, the built-in Logic amp sim and the built-in Logic pedal simulators. And so I believe that's just one of the phaser pedals from the Logic pedal board.
And otherwise, you know, just this is the kind of uplifting, celebratory Freak Flag song that I wanted to hear from this challenge, you know, and I like that a lot. I'm definitely voting for it, and I'm definitely downloading it. I'm just really happy with how it turned out. And it was great to have one that, you know, lived up to kind of my expectations of what I was hoping that really everybody was going to be doing for this fight.
Cool. I'm glad I spoke to you with this song. I really wanted these lyrics to be emblematic of inevitability, you know, and like that the changes that are happening don't work for everybody and they can just fuck off. And the rest of us will be standing on the mountaintop arm in arm waving our freak flags, because this is what has to happen. And it's inevitably going to happen if the planet doesn't die before we get there.
Yeah.
I had a question about the dynamics. So I noticed that not on the first chorus, like on the first chorus, you add some harmony vocals and some doubling to just make the chorus vocals sound richer. But on later choruses, there's even more harmony parts stacked on, and I think they're panned out a little wide. I'm curious how you think about dynamics in terms of layering more as the song goes on, and or if you do think about that as you're working on it.
Yeah, I do think about it. So with that chorus, if I can recall correctly, I recorded it twice and they had slightly different notes and slightly, you know, I think there was one different word. So I recorded it once and then I was like, I don't really like that. I do a lot of parts, right? So I'll record, you know, 5 or 6 different times over myself on one of these choruses to get that sort of gang vocal effect with gang harmonies. I like that big, wide, thick, sounds like a chorus kind of sound. So I recorded it once, didn't like it. Then I recorded it again. And then I was playing it back and I said, all right, I like the redo. And then at the towards the end there, I said, well, what does it sound like if I just turn on the old version too? And it just went boom, like it just got a lot bigger because, of course, it went from like 5 parts to 10 parts. And I said, OK, that's what I want. I want to keep that because it goes nicely from the very first chorus, which sounds nice and big and thick. But then when we get to the end, it's even bigger and wider. And I think I had to duck out one word that was different between the choruses and then just kind of align everything with flex time. But I really liked it. And then I panned everything out to try to make it sort of fit like that. But it was definitely purposeful and intentional to try to get that to big. I do have this problem when I'm making songs, especially for Song Fight. It is that every song almost has to be the biggest song of all time, right? So there are these giant productions because the continuity isn't there. Like, you're not making an album, so you're like, all right, this one's just going to be mild and mellow, and this is going to be the peak of the album, and this one's going to be coming down. So, but no, it's just like one giant production after another. It's like one Katy Perry song after another, right? They're all huge Max Martin productions, and everything just has to be, which I do it, and it's on purpose, but I also recognize that, man, I need to be sometimes a little bit more Marisan about my production and my songwriting. It's like, you know, just having a nice song is fine. But I didn't do that on this. This is an epic production, and I was trying to be an epic production. And I think the subject matter that I chose deserves an epic production. So that's what I was going for.
Awesome. You hit it.
There's almost nothing in here that I didn't do on purpose. If you find something, I will tell you whether I did or not.
Did you leave out the guitar solo? Because I noticed during the like instrumentation section right after the bridge, it's just like guitar chords. And I'm like,
I did not.
Shouldn't there be something here?
No, that's the solo. The solo that you're hearing there is the second solo that I wrote for it. And I like it better because the first version was an actual just guitar line solo.
Yeah.
And the second version is this, which is much more of a jangly, the chords are the solo sort of thing, because those are not the chords that I just play in the verse or just play in the chorus.
Yeah, there's some nice tension in there.
They're definitely specifically played and intended to be a solo interlude. When I listened to the original one that I wrote, which was just like, blah, 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 all that kind of crap, I was just like, this is a little bit too pat, and it's not good enough. I'm not a good enough guitarist to really pull off a great solo. So let's find something that's a little bit more idiomatic to me and that is maybe a little bit more creative than a standard tossed off kind of solo. And I didn't have time to write a nice, beautiful solo that's a little bit slower, which I think would have fit nicely. But that takes me a long time to get exactly right.
I would have just called Mo, like, Mo, do a solo for me. I need you.
Yeah, well, and Mo would have taken 5 minutes and tossed off a fantastic solo, but it would have had a lot of those elements that you've heard before, because he would have put predetermined parts of his solo technique into that, and you would have wound up with something that sounds amazing, but it's not going to make anybody cry. And I was kind of like, you know, like, let's put some emotions into it.
Cool.
I hope that does not come out in any way critical of Mo, because Mo is amazing. He's a great friend, and I love him. We're so glad to have him back in the United States.